Recorded live.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Boring Beige Box. Fade that out. That was a radio station that is from the sort of the era of the, or I guess a collection of music from the demo scene, which I really have been reading up a little bit on the whole demo scene. If you go to Wikipedia and do a search on demo scene, you can kind of read about what the demo scene is, what it was. And basically, I mean, from what I've read, it's the idea of creating, it's creating a demo and using technology to create something using, originally it was with like Commodore 64s and even the, you know, some of the early IBM PCs, and putting music to it, that music was made on the computer along with images. So it's pretty cool. It's still pretty alive, but that was a radio station called Nectarine Demo Scene Radio. It's at www.scenemusic.net. But yeah, I would, you know, check that out. It's definitely a lot of fun. So also, this is our fifth episode of Boring Beige Box, and tonight I just want to talk about some more retro goodness. There's a lot to talk about. I just want to also say our website, which is www.boringbeigebox.com, and you can definitely check that out. We also have some online forums. You can check that out by just going to the website and clicking on the forum section at the top. I also do a regular podcast, Boring Beige Box is the name of it, and you can find it on iTunes, or if you go to the website and click on podcast info, you can see those regular episodes. Tonight, basically on Thursday nights at the same time, 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, I do a live version of the show, so if people can, you know, join in and I can take calls about retro computing and basically using computers back in the day. So, all right, let's get started. Currently, we do not have anyone in the channel, but hopefully we can have some people join us pretty soon. First off, I want to talk a little bit about abandonware. If you're familiar with the term, it's great. If not, I would go to, you know, Google, or also Wikipedia has a pretty exhaustive detail of abandonware, and just do a search for abandonware and you can find out what it is. Basically, it's the idea of computer games or software that you can no longer find, that they no longer sell in the stores. And the only way to get it usually is online, but at the same time, this software has legal copyrights, so they call it abandonware. So it's kind of like wares, and it's kind of, I mean, it's got a gray area as far as the law goes. But I really think that there's, you know, if you're trying to sell the stuff, you know, I think companies, you know, make a big deal about it, but I think when you're, you know, you just have to be careful out there. But there are some games that have been released to the public for free, and there's a lot of stuff out there that is that some of the original authors and even companies say, "Yeah, we don't care. You know, you can get rid of it, do whatever you want, you know, with it. It's not a big deal." If you search for abandonware in Google, there's a lot of sites that come up. There's one site that I like a lot called abandonia.com, abandonia.com, and they have everything split out. Mainly, you know, it's mainly games, but the games are split out into different categories that you can search through, and they have screenshots of some of the games and just some information about the games. Some of the famous some of the famous websites. There's one called, I believe it's flashback-aw.net. Used to be a good one. I see that it's down right now. But also, The Underdogs. That's the Home of the Underdogs is another good one. That's www.the-underdogs.info. And that is a great great site to go to for some old school games. And, you know, you can check out and see what is available on that site, the-underdogs.info. And, you know, there's a lot of history about the games, but you really can't, you know, download stuff. I would, you know, do what you can, see what you can do, see if you can find some stuff out there. I'm sure if there's an old game that you used to like to play, you'll find it. So that's Abandonware, and you know, there's a lot of information on Wikipedia. You can read about it, and there's a lot of interesting arguments back and forth about the legal aspects of it. So I would definitely check that out. Now, like I've said before, in the past, there is a great program that I use called DOSBox, and it is a really great program that basically emulates a 386 machine, and you can use it to play most any of those old games. If you still have your original discs, or if you're able to find the games somewhere, somehow, you can load those games in DOSBox. You basically just mount the C drive. I think once you install DOSBox, read the instructions, but you basically mount, like if you had on your C drive, a folder called DOS, and it was C:\DOS. Well, you can mount it whenever you run DOSBox, and I think the command, you start off with the Z prompt, and you type in mount space C:\DOS, or whatever folder that you want to name it. So that mounts it in that computer, or in DOSBox as the C drive, and then you can run the games straight from that, and it will it properly sets up, like, remember all the problems we used to have with the autoexec.bat file, you know, configuring that, or the config.sys file, having to go in and modify those files was always a pain. And having to deal with, you know, extended or expanded memory. Well, all that is taken care of in DOSBox. They basically do all of that for you, and you can even with your sound card stuff. I was amazed. I mean, it just emulates the Sound Blaster sound card. Which is amazing to me. That was always a hard thing to get working properly. So you can do that with DOSBox and really get into Abandonware. You know, there's tons of games out there. I've got a lot of games that that I use that I load into DOSBox and play. Now, the other side of that is actually using the real hardware to play some of the games, or, you know, run the old software. I have a lot of systems in my garage. I have some old 386s and 486 based machines. I have an IBM PS1, PS2. There are, I have a couple just generic, you know, beige boxes, beige colored computers like from Compaq or Gateway that I use to play some of the old games sometimes. Now, it's definitely a lot easier to play them in DOSBox, but there's something about playing the games on the original hardware and playing them on some of the original type of hardware that you had when you were young. And a lot of this hardware comes from the early 90s, late 80s, early to mid 90s. And, you know, it is more difficult to get everything up and running to play your games on the original hardware, but hey, that's how it was back in the day. So I would definitely, if you're looking for any computers, any old stuff, you know, keep an eye out when it gets warm, as the spring comes around, you know, at yard sales or garage sales. You know, sometimes you can find some stuff at flea markets, but not all the time. Obviously, thrift stores are good. And, worst case scenario, just you can buy some stuff off eBay. You have to pay a lot for shipping if you have it shipped, but you can definitely find anything on eBay. You know, any of the old systems are up there. It's kind of fun sometimes just to browse through eBay and look at some of the old systems that are up for sale. So Yeah, so I have a lot of those systems that, you know, as soon as the spring comes around, I want to get them out of the garage and set them up and maybe build some sort of shelving system to house all the computers. So that's a big project to work on, definitely. There's some good sites that are under, back to the abandonware thing. If you look under the abandonware setup, there's some good articles under the abandonware entry at the bottom, stuff on GameSpot, and people talk about it. And it's, you know, there's huge arguments back and forth about stuff. Also on textfiles.com, which is a site by Jason Scott, which I talked about before in earlier episodes. Jason produced the BBS documentary, and he has a site on textfiles. If you go to cd.textfiles.com, there are they have images. He has CD images of CDs from the early or from the 80s and 90s that are well from the 90s that had all of these games or demo games that you could download and play. So there's a lot of stuff on those in there. I'm just looking at it now, and it is amazing. There's so much stuff. So I'm just kind of looking right now. 1,000 games for DOS. Yeah, I mean, they're mainly cheesy games, or are there like just demos? So the real deal is out there. If you want to find the full games, you just have to kind of search for them. So, but yeah, I would check that out too. Just a note, I want to mention just some other stuff I've kind of been into this week. There is a great podcast called Retro Bits, and I would definitely suggest that to you. It's by a guy named Earl Evans, and I know I've mentioned it before, but it's kind of the podcast that got me interested into doing a podcast about retro computing. If you go to his site is retrobits.libsyn.com. That's retrobits.libsyn.com, and you can grab some of his episodes. He's done like 70 some episodes, so he's way up on me there. But he's done a lot of stuff about. He focuses on the 80s. Time period and before that, and he's got some really good stuff. I just listened to a great episode of his that he talked about Zork, which was an early text adventure game, and he basically records him and his son playing some of that in today. I mean, they loaded it up it was a couple weeks ago, loaded it up on their Apple IIe and played some of Zork, the very first Zork. There was a lot of them, but it was a text-based adventure game released by Infocom, and Infocom did a lot of these text-based adventure games back in the day. So he talks about that, and that was a really great episode. So I would definitely check that out. I recently just released show number 17 of my regular podcast, Boring Beige Box, and it's titled Random Access. I just talk about some various stuff about BBSs. And there was a book that I just read called Commodork by Rob O'Hara, which is a really great book, and you can check that out. If you go to RobOhara.com, RobOhara.com, you can read about his book and then even order it and kind of support him and help him out. But it's a really great book with lots of pictures, and it just kind of talks about the early days of bulletin board systems and some of the stuff that he used to get into, the crazy fun that he had growing up on bulletin board systems. So that's a definite book to check out. Let's see. There is not much else going on. There's a couple things I'm interested in coming up. There's a conference called Nauticon, and it's going to be in April. Let's see, if you go to nauticon.org, www.nauticon.org, that's NOTACON.org, looks like it is April 27th through the 29th of this year in Cleveland, Ohio, and it's basically kind of a hacker conference, kind of kind of like DEF CON, but there's a lot of other stuff going on. They have a block party, which is a whole demo scene party where they do a lot of music, you know, computer music kind of festival. And there's a lot of speakers. I know Jason Scott's going to be there from the BBS documentary. It looks like a pretty good conference. You know, if you're into hacking or into not hacking in a really bad sense, I mean, yeah, there's some things but that they get into. But it's more about security. And, you know, there's some material that's considered black hat, which is, you know, the bad side of hacking. But there's a lot of fun stuff. So it's cool to be around other geeks and, you know, do some fun stuff. So I hope that there's some retro stuff there. And but I'm probably going to be going to that. Also, if you've ever heard of the there's the Vintage Computer Festival. If you go to www.vintage.org, you can read about that. There is a conference coming up in or the next Vintage Computer Festival. Let's see. Well, the 9.0 or Vintage Computer Festival 9 was actually in November 4th and 5th of last year, and it's in Mountain View, California. They'll probably do the same conference or festival next year at the same time. But I do know that if you're in the Midwest, there is they also do the Vintage Computer Festival Midwest in the summer. The last one was in West Lafayette, Indiana, at Purdue University. It's about an hour and a half from me, and I live in Northwest Indiana. But it's the Vintage Computer Festival Midwest 2.0, which was last summer. The third one will be coming up this summer. Around last year was July 15th. I will be attending that and checking that out. So I'm trying to look and see if there's more conferences. You know, the whole computer conference circuit has kind of died out a little bit. There's some stuff that goes on, but it's not as not as big as it used to be. So, but definitely check out some conferences. I know I say the word definitely a lot. It's kind of weird. Anyway, so I would look into the conferences. You know, try to attend some of the conferences. I think you'll be pleased. I know that I will this year, for sure. Well, let's see what else for today. There really hasn't been any callers, no one coming in today, but I'm probably going to be doing a little more advertising, getting the word out about the program. But I'm just looking for people that are into, you know, old school computing, someone to talk to. If you were a part of the, you know, the bulletin board scene back in the day, or if you were into the old online services, I would love to get together and just kind of talk about some of that stuff and what your experiences were. If you are into collecting some of the older computers and playing some of the older games from the 80s and 90s, and just some of your experiences, I would love for you to just join us on Thursday nights and just talk about some of the old school stuff. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's getting ready to be the spring. It's time to clean out your garage and put together some old systems and just mess around with them. I recently was looking at there's some people that have put together, I don't know if you go back and look at before America Online, there was something called QLink or Quantum Link, and it was an online service for the Commodore 64, and it was basically the precursor to America Online. And it was, you know, Steve Case was that, you know, was one of the founders of America Online, you know, took part in this. And if you go and look for Quantum Link on Wikipedia, you'll read a little bit about it. It operated from 1985 to 1994. So now this is one of the early online service type systems. It wasn't a bulletin board. It was a specialized subscription service with graphics and games, and you know, you could buy stuff online, and it was kind of like Prodigy or CompuServe, but it was for the Commodore 64, so it was kind of basic in the GUI or the user interface. Now I have, and this is pretty amazing, there's a project called Quantum Link Reloaded that has successfully been able to take the software, reverse engineer the reverse engineer the software for Quantum Link and make it where you can connect to the service and use it just like you did back in the day. And it's amazing. I was able to load it up. They use something called QVice, which is a Commodore 64 emulator, or I think that's the kind of the install package. Yeah, QLink WinVice, and it's Commodore 64 with QLink as a part of it. So you just run a real easy executable, and you just jump right in, and you set up an account, and it's exactly like it was for these people. And I didn't really have a Commodore 64, and I didn't use QLink, but for a lot of people, they did. And in the 80s, mid to late 80s, and it's amazing that they have this set up and working. Now I wish that someone would put together a project to do the same thing for, you know, like the early versions of America Online, or really for the Sierra Network. And there have been, you know, there's been some things out there that people are working on, the Imagination Network. It was originally called the Sierra Network, but then it became the Imagination Network. And I think that there is an organization that worked on it called the FAUXINN, FAUXINN was the name of the project. And they got so far, but I think that they kind of gave up on it, and or just hasn't had much. I haven't looked into it in a long time. It's been a while, but I'm going to check it out. Now, also, Eusebius, which was a game that you could play in Medieval Land, they have implemented the ability to go in and join like the chat room, which is pretty amazing. And the game part doesn't work yet, but they have been able to get into it and emulate or simulate the chat part of it. But I need to read more on that. It's been a while. So, alrighty, well, that about does it for this week. Oh man, I think that I don't know if I'm still recording. It looks like it's crashed on me. So great. This TalkShoe thing is problematic sometimes. Did they cut me off? I don't know. Let's see here. 1 second. I'm restarting the show. Well, restarting the chat client. Okay, looks like it's still recording. Check, check, check. Hit call. Okay, check. Sorry about that. Looks like the chat client crashed. So, okay, now I'm getting echoes. So, all right, thanks guys for joining me, and take care. See you next week.
Your own internet talk show. Check it out at talkshoe.com.